For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I'm your host, Mike Joachim. Frenchie is here. Make sure to check out our friends at Underdog Fantasy Sports. Link is in every episode description. I'll put another link on Twitter soon. If you sign up using promo code PLP or PPN, depending on what show you're listening to of ours, if you deposit, you know, $50, you get an extra $50. If you deposit $100, you get $100. I think up to $500, then you get $500. So enjoy, dig in. We'll start doing some. I don't have IndyCar up yet, but they do have Formula One. They do have NASCAR coming like in the next couple days or so. So stay tuned for that. We're going to do a trivia question or three to start here. And because I figured this out literally as I was hitting the record button, this is about the 2015 Indy 500. For no particular reason other than it was literally my first Google search. Sorry, I keep saying literally. I'm a little overtired. Okay, who was the 2015 Indy 500 Rookie of the Year, who also was the highest finishing rookie in 16th place? I can give you one hint after a first guess. There was only two other rookies in this field. There were two rookies total in the field that year.
Trying to think of who would have been a rookie then and what team they would have been driving for.
He is not in IndyCar anymore.
Yeah, I was thinking it had to be kind of an Indy Lights graduate. That was the prime time where they were getting like three races.
Yeah.
So, Gabby Chavez?
Nailed it. Can you guess the other rookie from that year?
Ooh. I have to think about that. Who else would have been a rookie?
It's a little bit like, I don't want to say, it's a bit more obscure. So,
yeah. Was James Davison a rookie that year?
No, that is not it. The answer is Stefano Coletti.
Oh, I barely even remember who that is.
I forget who he raced for. It might have been Coyne, but he was the one. That was the year they raced at New Orleans Motorsports Park, and he like went backwards through the rain-soaked infield and I don't remember if he made contact with the wall or not, but like it was a pretty epic like spin out there. So let me see if this is like a really kind of boring.
James Davison was a rookie in 2014, so I was pretty close.
Yeah. Okay, you were. All right. This might trip you up. It might not. This is kind of easy. What driver, notable for being the first IndyCar racer with diabetes, finished the 2015 Indy 500 in third place?
Oh, the first? I was trying to think, because we've had a couple that have had diabetes. Yeah. But that's got to be Charlie Kimball.
Yeah. Connor was the other one, but he didn't make it past the pace lap because that was the year his engine caught on fire.
Who was he driving for?
Foyt. That was the Smithfield.
Okay. Yeah.
Blue Smithfield car. That was a cool car. All right, so let's start with, you can tell by my lack of enthusiasm right now. Let's start with Thermal Club. I don't really know. Listen, we're not going to berate IndyCar. IndyCar is getting slaughtered over the coals on social media for the last 4 days now, so we don't need to join that. But, I mean, I'll try to say a couple positive things. I think a non-points event can work. I think it needs to be before the season, though. You know, kind of like a hype, up for the season. I've seen that mentioned a bunch. I think the format wasn't terrible. I think the format of the heat races has some merit to it and could be exciting. I think there were too many rules that were not explained at all, so it was very hard to truly follow what was going on. And, you know, they said guys have to maintain 100% or 105% of the leader. And I mean, my math isn't very good, but I don't know how Colton Herta maintained that in the finale. So, you know, and not being able to change tires in the middle or something was a very strange call. Also, I think the starting the second half of the finale with single file restart instead of a double file, honestly, it hurt Colton Herta, because if he was side by side, he could have picked off a couple right away and challenged. I think, you know, he just didn't have enough tire left by the end to like truly be competitive for a win or something like that. But listen, he played the cards right. He did what he was allowed to do. But do I have any other positives? It's a nice facility. I think it's great for testing. There was a couple passing spots that I didn't expect. I think all in all, the flow of that track is a bit rough for like a full length feature race and would be, you know, would not lend itself to be very exciting. And I think if that was a full, you know, 60 lap race or 80 lap race or something, the tire wear would make it a very conservative race from trying to keep it under control, which I get, but all right, Frenchie, before I get negative or anything, do you have anything positive to say? Let's try to start uplifting before we do any sort of ranting and raving.
Yeah, so I think there was a positive in that it is a place where IndyCar was able to talk about the glamour and kind of explain to viewers, like, there is such a thing as a rich person's country club type place. And we're kind of, I don't know, pulling back the curtains on it a little bit, showing it on TV. You know, they let us here to do this race. These guys aren't professional racers, but, you know, they're welcoming us to do this. So that's pretty cool. But I think the biggest positive to me was that we saw drivers who wouldn't necessarily succeed in a normal race format. Maybe they were in that final and they were competitive.
Sure. And, you know, shout out to Nolan Siegel for just missing out on advancing, but mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty impressive there. I guess, do we want to get negative, or do we want to... crap, I lost my train of thought. Let's get negative. And we're not going to, like, murder IndyCar by any means here, but the rules were poorly explained or not explained at all, so it was kind of hard to follow. Okay, so Pietro got disqualified. I guess that was a rule. It wasn't explained beforehand. Yeah,
but can I ask you about that?
Yeah,
because it sounds like they underfueled his car by mistake.
Yeah,
and then he was disqualified for violating IndyCar's instructions, was I think what it said.
Yeah, you're
so underfueling obviously is an issue, but I don't know, he didn't gain a competitive advantage from that. I understand disqualifying him, but
yeah, I agree. It was
I don't get it.
I didn't get the point of having that rule. I also don't quite understand why, you know, Colton Herta was allowed to change his wing after the first race, you know, when mm-hmm. he kind of bumped into the back of Scott Dixon. But then Christian Lundgaard, who, you know, kind of got crunched on the side pod there, was not allowed to change the side pod piece, wasn't allowed to do anything other than duct tape it. And then before the finale, I think, or the second half of the finale, they wanted to cut part of the duct tape that was kind of flapping in the wind, and IndyCar said no. So I don't understand the distinction there. It seems very like, well, you know what? You're fine because we need to appease Michael Andretti, but, you know, Bobby Rahal's not spouting off at the mouth, so, like, screw you. It was just very, like, you know, throw a dart at the wall and see what sticks sort of thing, if you catch my PG version of that metaphor. So I didn't understand that the not being able to change your tires, I think, was disappointing, like I said earlier. But I think, honestly, my biggest frustration was the, and I get, like, yeah, I'm sure they were under instructions to do this, but they broadcast saying, this is an exclusive place. Look how great it is. You know, look at this putting green, and we're going to take tequila shots off the balcony here coming out of a Porsche GT3 exhaust pipe. And I get it. That was a cool GT3 they had on that balcony of that house. But to 99.9% of the IndyCar audience, that means absolutely nothing. So, okay, you have to promote the Thermal Club. Sure. That's probably part of the agreement. Mm-hmm. You do that pre-race, maybe a little bit during the intermissions, you talk about it. But it was almost like the racing on track was secondary to how exclusive this club was. And it's like, you know, you, most of you watching, will never come here. You will never be here. You will never own a house here. You will never own one of these cars. It's just like, yeah, okay. It was just, I'm sure it was forced on them to some degree by the Thermal Club people, but I wasn't particularly a fan of that. It was frustrating to listen to. I'm not blaming the commentators. It was just frustrating to have to listen to that.
I think my response to that would be that society kind of loves to gawk at the wealthy.
Yeah.
And to see how, and I'm going to call it the other half lives, because it's like the other 1% lives. And I think, especially in the United States, we have this idea that I could maybe get there one day. And so you kind of dream about it. You know, all these shows like MTV Cribs and YouTube shows that go through rich people's car collections or watch collections. We enjoy watching that. So I'm not really going to criticize the broadcast for pulling back the curtain on thermal, because I don't think it was meant to rub it in our noses that we will never get the chance to be there otherwise. But maybe it encourages IndyCar fans, like, if you want to check this place out, this is the way to do it. Buy a ticket to this event, even though they're $500 at the lowest price. I do have one thing, I guess, that I'll say about, I understand why they did this event. It's to attract wealthy people to IndyCar who are going to get involved and maybe sponsor. I mean, isn't this how Don Cusick got involved, essentially? Like Stephen Wilson?
Vaguely, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was something about that. So, I mean, that's what the purpose of this event. It is to bring these people who are into cars and maybe not into motorsports into the series, that whatever their companies are, maybe they can do B2B deals. Maybe they want to buy suites at the Indy 500 or whatever it is. And so that's the purpose. I mean, I don't think it's really, the racing was secondary. I agree with that. And I think this event could have been good had it been somewhere else. I mean, the rules with the heats, like you said, and maybe you could have run an alternate and a primary tire in each of the halves of the final or something like that and had to choose between them. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff you could do to mess with the format, but it was just the layout of the track. I mean, this is a track for people with supercars to go run, and they're not racing, right? Yeah, they're exactly. Yeah. They're enjoying their toys. And so it's not made for racing like this. And that's fine because it's a high quality facility. But that also means that we're not going to get the action that we want for a broadcast. We're not seeing passes, really, except when somebody like Colton or Rossi really dive bomb someone.
Yeah.
And I mean, those are highlights, but we want to see more passing than that.
I just think all of that for, you know, the prize money that was available just wasn't worth it. And
Palou might need it though for his lawsuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So help him.
So
just kidding. I don't know how that's going.
All in all, I'm giving the event a C-. It wasn't the worst thing ever, but once I knew that, you know, listen, I'm not going to lie. There was 2.5 laps left, and you knew nothing was changing. I walked outside and took the dog to the park because it was a nice afternoon. Like, okay, you know, doesn't really matter who wins this thing, and we know how it's going to go. So I guess before we get to predictions, I want to tell you guys real quick about the easiest way to get some action
on any of the major sports right now, including motorsports. It's Underdog Fantasy and their pick'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or maybe your least favorite players or driver stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile app. All you need to do, pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em entry. Get every pick right, and you're taking home some serious money. Maybe enough that you can buy an IndyCar team or give them some money for maybe some marketing. All you need to use is the promo code PLP and get your first deposit doubled by up to $500 by Underdog. Some points on why you want to use Underdog versus everything else out there. It's the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. You don't need to worry about waivers or trades or lineup setting. You can draft your team in a couple minutes and you're done. Like I mentioned, you sign up with the promo code PLP. Click the link in the show notes each and every week going forward on this show, and your first deposit will be doubled. In other words, you deposit $100, you're getting $100 free. Check them out, guys. We will try to do as many pick'em sections in this show as possible each week going forward to give you our insight. We will share what we're picking, maybe even if it's other sports if you guys are interested. Anyway, Underdog Fantasy Sports, check them out now.
Has Romain Grosjean made, I don't want to say more enemies, but judging by the, so when they interviewed Will Power and he was like, oh, Scott Dixon was texting me.
Right.
And, you know, obviously they talked about the actual incident itself, but I just got this like reading between the lines that like they're at this point, maybe other than his teammate in Canapino, no, there's zero love for Romain Grosjean in that paddock. Maybe Marcus Ericsson from his F1 days respects him a little bit or something. But I mean, all in all, I mean, you and I have talked to more than one or two drivers who have been like, yeah, I don't want to race near him on track.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, today was not, or Sunday was not his fault, but correct, it was his attitude afterwards, either in the interview or shoving the track marshal, which was kind of funny because
yeah, like screaming at him, dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, that dude was not putting up with it. So bravo to him for just being like, screw off.
Yeah, I get being pissed, but that was just an inappropriate reaction. Like he needs to learn to control his anger. I mean,
yeah,
he's known for wrecking. And like you said, this, it wasn't his fault for once or one of very few times where I don't think he really had much blame in this, but he still made himself the villain. He's still like, I don't think about this incident at all in terms of like, oh, Scott Dixon, what were you doing? I'm just like, wow, Romain, your reaction was so poor that you made it all about you. And that's all I can really remember about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it was Dixon's fault or Grosjean's fault or Herta's fault. I think it was lap one, turn one. Guys are slightly misjudging each other on what they're going to do. They've never truly raced there before. So, I mean, it was an avoidable contact penalty. I'm fine with that call, but I think the rest of it was just a little frustrating.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I don't know how, hopefully the rest of the season goes well, but what is this, his third season now? Or is it fourth? Third or fourth?
See, the coin season, 2A, yeah, this is number 4.
Okay. Yeah, because he did the first coin season where he didn't run ovals, right? And then he did another?
Yeah.
With coin? Okay, so, yeah, the fact that he hasn't won a race by now, I think would suggest to you that he's not going to. I mean, he didn't win an F1. He kept getting close-ish, sort of. But for all those people who claimed that, oh, Romain's going to come wipe the floor with everyone, because, you know, he's an F1 driver, he's elite. I mean, yeah, he's elite. I'm not going to argue with that. He's a talented guy. He's really fast over one lap. But to me, he reminds me of like a Yarno Trulli. Like he's fast, but results just don't show up in the end. Something happens there. And I mean, I respect him, you know, as a driver for sure. But his personality is, I think, and some of the driving incidents are what really have alienated him from people.
Yep, I agree. All right.
But we need villains. We do need villains. So
that's fair.
He's not done anything like horrific. I mean, this was bad behavior, and it's not going to become a meme like the willpower double birds or any of that kind of stuff, which ends up being funny, because I don't think Roman's going to joke about it later. But you know, it's, we need people to be like creating drama, and I'm not saying just go crash into people, but we want there to be some kind of dynamic of, ooh, we don't like this guy, and neither do some of the drivers, and they're going to really race each other hard.
All right. I respect that. Predictions?
Yes. We actually did pretty well.
Ooh.
I think. So I chose Scott McLaughlin to have a good weekend. I mean, finishing second.
Respect.
Super solid. You chose Rossi, who also had a super solid weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Those are both good. My, you know.
Fair.
Bad. You chose Rinus, and yep, getting taken out on the first lap. He had a terrible weekend.
Yep.
And I chose Kyle Kirkwood, who I think didn't make the final. He definitely didn't make the final.
Yeah, he did not have a good showing. He spun in one of the test sessions and just wasn't super competitive.
Yeah, so we nailed those two. I don't have the qualifying order. I don't remember it. It's also not, I don't have a PDF document like we usually do with the report. So I don't super remember where people qualified, but we had a question of where or who would be the first person kind of knocked out like last in round one.
Yeah.
I said Stingray Rob.
It wasn't him.
And because you said Colin Brown.
It wasn't him either. You would assume first person knocked out would be the guys who were involved in that accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't pick them. Okay. Was that it?
Yeah, that was all we did because I think we just didn't have much to.
We didn't know what to do. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And neither did IndyCar, it seems like. But they'll work it out, I hope. I don't know how much longer they have a contract for this event or if they're willing to move the date. It's like you said, so it's before the season. Who knows? But I really think that I was going to say flambeing, but I don't think that's a word. You can like flambe something, but I don't know if you can make it into a, like you can change it into a verb. Maybe you can. Of IndyCar has been completely warranted. There's been a lot of stuff lately that people have kind of, you know, been shaking their heads at.
Yeah.
And I don't think this was necessarily one of the things that we need to, like you said, rip on them for. It was a race. I do disagree with Connor Daly's quotes, though. I think, do we want to address that one real quick?
Yeah, go for it. I didn't read them, so.
Let me find exactly what his quote was, but I think he said something like, it's a race, and if you didn't enjoy it, you're not a fan of racing. Let me find exactly what he said. Hold on.
Yeah, there is. Listen, there's a lot of.
I texted it to you.
Vitriol going back and forth. Oh, you did. I think that was when I was going to the adult kickball game Monday night. So I read it and then all automatically forgot instance later.
I'm just scrolling back.
Yeah. You could go to the links he
Here
sent
we go.
Me.
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's ever going to be fully happy and some people are going to be angry with everything. Totally true. I'm with you there 100%, Connor.
I'm always angry.
But you got free racing to watch on Sunday. And if you're going to sit there and say, I don't want to watch it, that just means you're not a race fan. I completely disagree. I think if you have higher expectations for a race, that makes you more of a race fan. If you just sat there and enjoyed it because it's not the usual format. I mean, maybe, you know, it was entertainment, but I didn't like that quote.
Yeah, it's just, you hear the same thing in stick and ball sports too. It's like, if you don't like this, you're not a fan. Whether you like the race or not on Sunday, or the races, whatever you want to call it, doesn't make you any less of a fan than somebody who did like it, or vice versa. If you liked it
exactly
and other people didn't, it doesn't mean you're a better fan. You know, it just means you have a different opinion, which is okay. And if your opinion is you don't like what you saw, or you don't like a particular sport or a musician or whatever, it doesn't make you better or worse than anybody else. So when somebody says like, oh, you're not a fan if you don't like this, like, go shut up, go away.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's so dumb. And I, like, I'm no disrespect to Connor. I would say that to anybody who made that sort of comment. It's dumb.
I agree. Yeah. If somebody was like, you're not a fan of rock music if you don't like Led Zeppelin or if you don't like Nirvana or whatever, like one of the, you know, big popular rock bands, like you can just not like one of them. Like, I don't like the Doors. They're like a pretty famous popular rock band. Maybe people are going to hate on me for that, but I'm still a fan of classic rock.
Yeah, I had this discussion. I was talking about it a couple weeks ago with my girlfriend, how in college, like, I got in a heated discussion with somebody who, like, didn't like rock music, and I didn't like a particular rapper that they were mentioning.
Do you remember who it was?
Yes, I'm not purposely not saying. I'll text you.
Oh, is it a hot take?
No, I just don't feel like getting music debates showing up in my Twitter because I, you know, just don't like debating it anymore. But I was like, listen, just because you like this Soldier person Boy.
Oh.
And not him, I don't, and you don't like what I like, doesn't make either one of us like high and mighty or wrong. It's just we have different tastes and things. And I wasn't particularly excited by anything I saw at Thermal Club, but also
me neither.
If it brings in sponsorship to IndyCar, like I could live with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be sitting down to watch most of the racing action next year in that case. Like, I'd probably tune in a little bit, but like I wouldn't really care either way. But I could understand from that standpoint. That's all I got.
Yeah. I mean, I still enjoyed it, right? It was probably, unfortunately, the IndyCar race where I found myself scrolling on my phone, just doing other things during it the most, like just didn't hold my attention as well.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it wasn't more exciting. Like, I'd rather watch this than most things. So if a bad IndyCar race is still better than most other things on TV, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah, it was, you know, I think I was at one point, it was on Sunday, it was maybe during the heat race, I took out my Nintendo Switch and was playing games for a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
You're not a fan then?
You know, I think I'll survive. What's next?
Next is, I guess, Laguna Seca is something that we touched on earlier. There was a lawsuit, if you remember, about the noise and traffic. Yeah. So that's been settled. And I didn't read the full court documents, but reading an article in Haggerty by someone who I don't know, and I don't think I can pronounce that name confidently, so I'm not going to. But apparently there's going to be a sound impact assessment. And that the track will make improvements to sound mitigation where feasible. I think that sounds good to me. They're going to see what they can do, maybe put up some kind of a barrier towards houses that were there. But I mean, this track has been there forever. There have been events. It brings money to the county and to the local area. So the not in my backyard Karen types who were raising this lawsuit, I'm glad to see them, I guess, pretty much lose. I mean, they were not able to prevent anything. The track's got to do something to maybe please them a little bit, but it sounds kind of perfunctory.
They were silenced.
Yeah. By the sound of engines.
All right.
Other piece of news that we have is probably not news, maybe, but it's a rumor that I've seen in enough places that I think we can discuss it. Christian Lundgaard, he made some comments that he's been approached by like every existing IndyCar team, which was an interesting quote to give, maybe putting some pressure on his team owners to
probably
extend his contract and pay him more. But it sounds like he's not likely, but I don't know. He's thought to be heading to Arrow McLaren. Does that mean somebody loses their ride, or is it going to be a fourth car? I do not know.
Yeah, well, it's not Pato.
Right. Because he just signed a contract.
Rossi's contract could be up. I don't know if it is.
Yeah, in 2025.
Okay, so it's not up. So it's, you know, if I'm co-host Malukas, am I a little nervous? Maybe. Is it a fourth car? It could be. You know, they are taking over the Andretti shop to get more room and have more space. So
yeah,
maybe it's that, but it's either Malukas or a fourth car. Unfortunately, I don't like saying that, but I don't see it any other way.
I don't think you could make the decision to dump Malukas this quickly. So no, I think it's got to be a fourth car then, if they're already approaching him and the rumors are that he's headed to Aero McLaren for 2025.
But it could also be like, hey, you're going to be in our car next year, but we're not sure if it's going to be a fourth car or, you know, we're going to see how the season goes with David. And, you know, I think it's too early either way. You're right. Like, it's too early to say, like, but yes, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, that's all I have about that pretty much, that we've just been seeing that. We've heard it from some people and, you know, nothing is confirmed, but just going to throw that out there because it's interesting to watch. And I love IndyCar driver market news.
Yep.
Pretty much more than almost any other news topic, like in the off season, except for when it's Dale Coyne, because just guessing is no fun.
Yeah.
All right. I think with that, we have two final things. We never really talked about Michael Andretti's comments. Yeah. And I pulled them up so I could read them, but I don't think we need to read them because I'm sure everyone listening to this show has seen them. And if you haven't, I think you can just search Michael Andretti, Roger Penske, and they will come up in numerous news articles.
Yep.
What did you think of this? I kind of like seeing Michael speak out because if he's frustrated, we know he's someone, I mean, with the whole F1 saga, he's not going to keep his mouth shut. He's going to make sure that everybody knows how he feels. And while that can be awkward, I think, for him, IndyCar can't lose him. He's really important. He's a super famous name. He's got three cars. He's been somebody who's been consistent since whenever the team started. You know, he's not somebody that I think he's allowed to say these things at this point. I bet he's known Roger Penske since 1980, whatever. 384 when he joined IndyCar or CART, even before that, probably just through Mario. So he's someone who I think it's healthy to criticize Penske if he sees things that are wrong. And hopefully the people at Penske Entertainment and Roger himself will listen to some of the things that he said, because I think he's got some good points.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or paddle, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate two engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
Yeah. So I see what you're saying. I don't think you're wrong. I think the bringing the politics into the news. Yeah, but I think bringing politics into the news to that degree is a bit much. You could say, like, hey, I really, there's things I want to talk about with him because I'm pissed or whatever. Like, sure. But also, and this I didn't really think of until today / when you were talking in the Racer mailbag, you know, Marshall Pruitt calls IndyCar executives thin-skinned. And I think if you combined thin-skinned or sensitive or however you want to phrase it, and you know, that type of wording with the approach Michael Andretti took.
Yeah, it doesn't go well.
It's not going to go well. And right. I think especially because the other owners were like, yeah, let's talk about this amongst ourselves with Roger and we'll come to a conclusion. And then Michael spouted off is not great. And I'm not, you're right. They can't afford to lose Andretti as a team or anything like that. I just don't know. And it's like the same thing when Mario like spouted off about F1 being greedy. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Not the way I would have handled it. And again, I'm saying that sitting in my chair in Philadelphia. You're sitting in your chair wherever the hell you live. And
me?
Yeah. And you know I'm just goofing. But I get his point. I get the frustration. Totally understand it. IndyCar's in a super odd spot right now,
like pivotal just, place.
It's yeah. There's just not a lot of positivity, which is just weird. It's just awkward. That's the only way. It's hard to put my finger on. And but it, again, so I get his frustration. I get the points. It's just not the way, in my uneducated opinion, to handle it.
No, and I don't think Roger Penske wants his stuff aired like this. He's always a very private man. So I agree with you that it's probably the exact opposite of how he would have wanted to see it handled. But I think Michael Andretti, he's number one. It seems like Mario and Michael are just like this. This is what they do. This is their MO.
Yep.
You know, take it or leave it. The other thing is maybe he just feels really desperate and he's concerned about something he loves. And so he's you know, that moonshot, like just going out there and saying it, hoping that it'll snap everybody out of it or wake them up when they see his comments in the news, or maybe it'll, you know, result in more pressure put on them by other parties once he goes out there and is the first one to say it. So you can either look at him as brave or stupid or tactless. It could be all of the above. I don't think he's a stupid man.
Yeah. Yep.
But you could look at it as like tactless, but also brave is how I should.
I don't want to say totally tactless. I just don't think the right methodology was reached.
Yeah, maybe abrasive is a better word then.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's pretty much all we have on that, unless
yeah, I think that's
you
fine.
Have some more comments. All right.
No, so I mean, we were a little delayed on that one because of your wedding and then you being away, and Cody and I decided to save it. And then last week, we just didn't want to, we didn't feel like getting to it. We saved it for this week. So, you know, I think that's fine.
Do you want to do a quick discussion of our thoughts on Lionheart and then close it out for the week since we don't have any racing coming up for a couple weeks?
Yeah. First off, super bummed that the next race that's on TV is when I'm on vacation, and with the time difference, I just probably won't be watching it until my flight home. Maybe
you can download it to watch on your flight back.
Yeah, maybe the end. Yeah, I mean, it'll download automatically on YouTube TV, so I'm not super worried about that because I just auto record every NASCAR and IndyCar race. Even
I mean, download to your iPad or with device or whatever to watch on the plane. Yeah.
So fair. So yeah, it's a little bit of, I mean, I'm not complaining. I get to go on vacation for the first time in a really, really long time. So, you know, I'm excited. But yeah, all right, go ahead. You start.
I don't know if there's much to say other than it's both incredibly heartbreaking and inspiring at the same time. Because you're watching essentially a family that was shattered, and then also a family that is kind of bonding and surging forward because they're still choosing to embrace the sport that took away, you know, this figure in their family. So I think it's pretty incredible. Just the, not even the fact that it's about IndyCar. I think you can just enjoy it from a human perspective.
Yeah, I think it was really well done for a sports documentary in general. There wasn't anything in there that was all that surprising.
Yeah.
Or all that unknown at this point. It was just so well done. And hearing all the interviews and whatnot, I think were really well done. They were a little harsh on Randy Bernard, you know. I get, you know, it's just, I think he was made to be a little bit of the scapegoat when, you know, obviously there was more than just Randy Bernard involved in that. So I didn't really kind of realize at the time how many drivers were not enthused with the whole Vegas weekend beforehand anyway.
Yeah, me neither.
But, you know, that was, you know, it was a long time ago. So maybe I knew at the time and I just forgot at this point. But yeah, I thought it was really well done. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, it was a little bit hard to get through at points as I kind of imagined it would be. And I know both of my parents said the same thing when my mom was texting me about it the other day. So yeah, when did I watch? Oh, I watched it. I watched it the day you were flying home from your honeymoon. I couldn't remember. I was just trying to think like when I watched it. But yeah, I thought it was awesome. I think, you know, if you haven't seen it, please watch it. If, you know, if you don't have an HBO Max login, literally create one and get a free trial and watch it just for that, because it's definitely worth it. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously HBO has a ton of awesome content anyway, but you know, I know how people feel about their streaming apps if you talk about Peacock. So let's not go down that path at the end of the episode here. Anyway,
yeah, fair enough.
That's all we got. We'll be back next week to ramble on about some other nonsense and see what IndyCar news comes up between now and then. Everybody enjoy whatever racing you watch this weekend.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.